greet you in Jesus' name this morning, and everyone. Thank the Lord for His goodness to us. I'm glad for the hymns that we have the privilege to sing. That last psalm was really sobering about the choices before us, all of us, and the special importance there is to a young man, what that decision means to him, or a young lady as well. The importance to choose early in life the right path. Let's turn to the story of Tobit again. We're going through. I think we're ready for chapter 3. What did Tobit's wife call him?
A know-it-all.
Anyway, this continues with the story. So, his wife's disagreement with him, and all, maybe like Brother Old said, it's the way it looked to him. But he wept. Then, chapter 3, verse 1. Then I wept in my sorrow, and with pain I prayed, saying, and now let's just pay attention here to his prayer. O Lord, you are righteous. So too are all your works. All your ways are mercy and truth. Your judgments are true and just forever. Remember me. Look upon me with favor. Do not punish me for my sins and my ignorance, nor those sins of my fathers which they committed against you. So that's just another example for us here. What Tobit expresses. So not giving the idea that he's right all the time. He said, don't punish me for my sins and my ignorance, and also the sins of my fathers, because they disobeyed your commands, verse 4. So you gave us a spoil, captivity, and death. You made us a byword of disgrace among all the nations in which we were scattered. Now your judgments concerning my sins are many, and they are true, because I did them, and so did my fathers. For we did not keep your commandments. Indeed, we did not walk in truth before you. Now do with me as is best before you. Command that my spirit be taken up so I may be released and become soil, since it is better for me to die than to live. For I have heard false insults, and there is much sorrow within me. Command that I be freed from distress, to now enter into the eternal place. Do not return your face away from me. Do not turn your face away from me. On the same day, in Ecbatana of Media, Sarah, the daughter of Rachel, happened to be insulted by her father's maids. She was married to 7 husbands, but before they could be with her as a wife, Asmodeus, the evil demon, killed them. So they said to her, do you not recollect that you strangled these husbands? They accused her of actually assassinating these husbands before they could truly be a husband. You have already had 7 husbands, but you received no profit from any of them. Therefore, why punish us? If they are dead, go with them. May we never see a son or daughter of yours. When she heard this, she was so distressed that she considered hanging herself. But she said, I am the only one of my father. If I do this, it will be a disgrace to him. sounds like another faithful person who is getting accused, who's in great distress, like the father of, Tobit is. Remember Tobias is Tobit's son, and here's someone in great distress, unbeknownst to Tobit, also praying in affliction. And the pain of being accused of strangling these husbands was great, and also being cursed, saying, "I'll never want to see a son or daughter of yours." Saying this from her, is it her maids, her father's maids, those servant girls that were, you know, probably attended her in her marriages. But like I said, the marriage never finished. Because right on the wedding day, these husbands would die. And she felt like committing suicide. And you know, what stopped her from committing suicide was actual care for her own father. That's one of the saddest things about somebody that commits suicide is the selfishness that it expresses. I mean, it's just no care for the poor family. I mean, their distress is so great that they just don't think of it. How terribly inconsiderate and ugly that is to the family who are left with only their memories of them, a body to deal with, and just hurtful to everyone around them. It's selfish. And so she prayed. She prayed. She said, I would break down his old age with sorrow into Hades for her father. Down to the grave, down to the place of the dead. And she said, verse 11, "Blessed are you, O Lord my God. Blessed is your holy and precious name unto the ages. May all your works bless you forever. Now, O Lord, I offer myself completely to you. Command that I be released from the land, that I may not hear such disgrace anymore. O Lord, you know that I am innocent of any sin with a man. I have not defiled my name, nor the name of my father in the land of my captivity. I am my father's only offspring. He has no other child who will be his heir. Neither does he have a brother close at hand, nor an adopted son that I might keep myself as a wife for him. Seven of my husbands have already perished. What should I live for? But if it does not seem good to you to kill me, command that I be looked upon with favor, and that mercy be shown to me, so I may no longer hear disgrace." And that is what we all should do. If we find ourselves in any anguish or anxiety or affliction or just not knowing what to do, say, "Lord, have mercy on me." God hears the cry of those who, in truth, call for his mercy. Verse 16, "The prayer of both was heard in the presence of the great glory of Raphael, and he was sent to heal the two of them, to remove the white films from Tobit, to give Sarah a regel to Tobias, the son of Tobit, as a wife, to bind as Modus the evil demon, for it fell upon Tobias to inherit her. At that same time, Tobit returned and entered his house, and Sarah, by Rahel, came down from her upstairs room." Interesting story. Yeah, may it be that way for you boys, for without fear, call for the name of the Lord, not just when we're in affliction, but be living that way so that in the midst of affliction, calling upon the name of the Lord would just be another breath of ours. It would be so natural to talk to the Lord, to call upon His name for help. That's when it's a blessing. We're following the Lord with all our hearts. And then in time of need, we just continue to breathe our desire to Him, call upon His name. Have the confidence that He has mercy. Good. For your assignment, we always find a chapter in the Bible that talks about angels. Talks about angels. And explains to us things about angels. And come to us with a verse out of that chapter. Memorize it. Share it with us out of that chapter. It tells us things about angels. Thinking of this angel Raphael. Come with that verse memorized. And then Gomer boys out of that same chapter talk about it a little bit. Give us some thoughts. You don't have to have a verse necessarily memorized, but give us some thoughts. I think that's something you can easily find, whether you have to ask an older person. Not, you can find that chapter that talks to us about angels. Quite a bit of the chapters devoted to that. So, boys, you have your assignment ready. But first of all, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we praise you for your mercy and goodness to us today. Just thank you for this story. And we thank you for your hand, love, and quick help that you have extended to your children when they call upon you. Dear God, we are yours. And we thank you for the people of God that we have sought and found. We ask that you have mercy on all your people. And Father, help us understand your kingdom better and better today through the message, the sermon of the day of blessing. It's the preachers. Help us understand. And Father, bless these young men, bless the older boys too. And we thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. All right, Lord, you can put this boat up here. Give your
peace.
We were to tell an example of someone who did something that they didn't really feel like doing or went out of their own comfort to help someone in need. I thought about Dirk Williams when he was running across the ice away from that person who's trying to catch him, and the other person fell through the ice. And Dirk turned around and pulled him out, even though that would mean he'd be caught again.
One time Jesus was in the synagogue and he told a parable about these rich men that came to the offering box and put a whole bunch of money in, and then a poor widow came and put her last 2 cents that she had into the offering box. And Jesus said that that was worth more than all the rich men.
Pastor, like, Cain didn't eat or drink for 3 days and then went into the cave risk her life because she went into the king and asked the king if all her Jewish people would get killed after all. And the king said that they wouldn't kill.
When Elijah was hungry, he went to a poor old widow that she had a boy, and they had just a little bit of bread left, and they were going to eat it and die. But she gave it to Elijah.
We had the same sentiment, and I thought about when David was hiding in the cave, this man gave up the comfort and safety and went out, snuck out, and got a drink for David.
Wait, you're going to ask what you want, what your desire is.
Sure. I'd like to be baptized, follow God.
I thought about David. He went out of his way to help King Saul's son, Mephibosheth, and brought him and let him eat at his table for the rest of his life.
Mother Teresa devoted her whole life to helping sick and really poor people. And when you think about that, that's a really big sacrifice.
And the parable of the Good Samaritan, the Good Samaritan went and he was on a journey, and he saw this man along the way that had been beat up and robbed, and he stopped and helped him and bound up his wounds and took him to an inn and paid them money to keep him there. And he really went out of his way on his journey to help that man. And it's just really good of him.
In First Kings, chapter 17, Elijah went into the widow and asked for some food, and she gave him her last food, and then God provided her for until after the famine was, because she did that.
I read about a man in China that gave up his whatever good life he had, and he was preaching to a congregation in another province. And police came and arrested him and threw him in jail, and God showed mercy on him, and the man that was in charge, that was the strongest in the cell, because that man who was in charge of the cell, he was nice to the man. And then the man, he wanted to know about the gospel, and the man that got put in jail told him, and then by the end of this day, the man had converted.
Got a couple verses here in 1 John 3, starting in 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. I was just thinking about how helping the poor or anything like that is not something to be proud of or anything. It's just the simple way of a Christian, just giving unto others. I could name anyone here, I could name pretty well that they've helped someone out.